and verse 6. Another thing she does is whenever you go to walk out the door, bye! I was going back and forth. I was working on the car yesterday. I was coming in and out of the house grabbing stuff and doing stuff. And every time I'd walk in, ha! Every time I'd go to walk out the door, bye! She's got my heart, man. She does. I don't know what that accent is, but it's the best. All right, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What Paul is doing here is he's really taking apart the arguments of the Judaizers, these faith plus works people. And what he's trying to do is he's taking them back to Abraham, and it's a little bit of an acquiescence to their argument that God worked through Abraham, which is absolutely the case, never a question, that the law was the law. It was established by God through Moses. God blessed Abraham prior to that, saying, hey, your lineage will be blessed. Moses received the law, and we understand the cursed if you don't follow the law, that Christ became, but then he points out that Christ became cursed for us, one who had done it, one who had followed the law to the letter, one who did do everything that the book said, and the only one to do so. He's acquiescing, yes, absolutely, through Abraham to Moses where the law was established. These were God's people. But after that, after the cross, faith was then required. Because after one who had lived the law perfectly had died, unraveling everything, now it is faith. And dying so that now even the Gentiles could be and can be saved. So he's providing this wonderful illustration in this argument that he's making. Yes, we are associated with Abraham. But that association does not equate to righteousness anymore. It is not your bloodline. It is not your ability to obey certain codes and creeds. You need faith. Now, again, I feel like we got to be careful with this, not because of you, but because of the times we're in. That does not mean that we throw away the statutes of God. If we see it in the Bible, we still want to live close by it because that was God's expectation once. It is still God's expectation of our lives to abide by some of these things. Right? Now, there are things that were very particular just to the Jews. But there are things in there, if we see in the Old Testament, are still good for us. You still shouldn't lie. You still shouldn't steal or be covetous. Right? There are many things written in the Old Testament that we can take as our own based off of precedence. This is what God expects out of the children of Israel. This is what God expects out of us. So we're not sitting there saying that by living the Word or living the law, or by obeying the Bible, we'll just put it that way. We're not saying that obeying the Bible is no longer necessary. You still need to obey the Word of God. But it is not what is going to save you. So while at one time they were accounted among the righteous, things had changed. salvation is no longer based solely on obedience. If you look at verse 7 with me, knowing ye, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I don't know if you noticed, but the kids really like the song Father Abraham. And I do not like the song Father Abraham. Particularly on a Sunday morning, it's rambunctious. But this started back at Flat Rock. I said, well, because we're not children of Abraham. And I would say that for years. Finally, Tim Cavanaugh, he's the guy who does all the music down there, now brought this verse to me. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And I go, still don't like the song on a Sunday morning, right? But no, what he's saying there is that very thing that you're so proud of, guess what? It applies to them too. What was Abraham if not chosen? To create a multitude, to create a lineage of people. You know, he is the beginning. He was the chosen one that became a chosen race of people. We, as God's people, as the saved, we were chosen too. By saying that we are children of Abraham, all we are saying is that our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world makes us just as chosen as God's people, as the Israelites were. And we are the same. Jew, Gentile, there's no difference. You know, we put this sheer amount of energy put into the racial differences in our society today. Well, you're this and you're that and this joke and that joke. Those things are so silly because we are now no longer Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter. You're either of the faith or not. You're either of the faith or not, and even then, that is not cause for hatred. And my in my office, up on the top shelf, there is a verse. It's from the book of Matthew. It's from the crucifixion of Christ, where he asked God not to lay the sin upon the people to their charge. And the wording on it says, "Love them anyway." You know, there's a world out there that are willing to do all manner of meanness to us. We are not to be mean to the people in this world. We're not. Right now we are to be stern in what we believe. We're to be firm on our convictions. We're not to waver. We're not to... Personally, I don't think that I have to agree with you to be kind. Well, you disagree with me. That's not very nice. Well, I'm sorry. I know that I can be not very nice when I disagree with you, but I don't think just plumb disagreeing with you makes me... Well, do you see it this way? You know what? I don't see it that way. That's mean. You're repressing me. No, I just don't agree with you. Don't. You know, so we're to hold firm to our beliefs, but we're not to be ugly. Bible says love your neighbor. So even though the only distinction is saved or not saved, we still do not have the right to be mean or ugly to a different class of people. We are God's chosen people, ambassadors to this world, and we ought to act a certain way while we are here. So we are among his chosen. We are accounted as sons. Those that are of the faith are accounted as sons of God. You want to make that more gender friendly? Sons and daughters. Right? When it says one in this particular case, it automatically infers the other. So ladies, don't feel left out. Don't feel left out. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You ever think about that? Think about the Israelite people. There's not a lot of nations that as nations claim that Israelite is a blessing. As a matter of fact, Israel's been at war for a very long time. There is a lot of contention and frustration about the Israelite people. The fact that we ever were able to make them a nation again should astound you and prove to you God's will working still today. Because you think about the people that don't like them. And the amount of military power these people have. And yet the Israelites are still staying on top of it. Well, they're getting help from this, that, and the other. And think about the propaganda. Think about the fight against them. Think about what we're seeing today. You know, they say it's a more liberal area, but really all it is a very bigoted thing. We don't like the Jews. We don't like the Israelis. We everything that they do against the nation they're at war with, we look as though they're bullies. And I say we editorially because I know we in this room go get them, right? We're for them. We're always picked, but everything that they do, they're painted as these bullies. Never once forgetting that they are at war. Now, I've heard some people, some very staunch conservatives, say, well, I don't think it's right that Israel do this. I don't think it's right that Israel do that. You know what America has done in some of our wars? We need to be quiet. We need to be quiet. We've done a lot of things because we were at war. Right? That's how war works, by the way. We kill your soldiers. You kill our soldiers until we can figure this thing out. Right? So that's what they're doing. They're not necessarily what a lot of people on earth would call a blessing. But all the same, the Bible says that they're a blessing to all nations because among all the nations that desperately hate them, there are people who are blood bought by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. All nations are blessed. Though not all nations will admit that they are blessed, there are people in every nation whom the Lord has saved through the seed of Abraham. Oh my, I should excite. Yes, we see the fulfillment of this scripture. It was never just meant for the Judaizers. Never just meant. Salvation was never just meant for one race. It was meant for us all. Even through the promise of Abraham. And I would have loved to have been there in some of these churches in Galatia when this letter was opened up and read. We mean all nations. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, but we meant by all nations. It means it just would have been really good to know us. No, that's not what it meant. That all nations would not become Jewish, but would become Christian. They would follow after Christ. Verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We see here is this kind of point that he's making. Hey, do you continue in all the law? Do you obey all of it? Do you obey it all the time? I'll get that conversation. Are you going to heaven when you die? Oh, I think I'm a pretty good person. I'm pretty sure St. Peter will let me in. Oh, how surprised you'll be when you find that St. Peter probably ain't anywhere near those gates. Wouldn't that be? That'd be a horrible thing. Peter, for all the things you've done, you got to check people in. that's not where checking will take place, by the way. But anyway, I'm a pretty good person, so you keep all the law. You keep all of it? You've never told a little lie? Your wife comes out, do I look fat in this? You told her the truth? Your boss asked when this was going to be done? You told him by 4 o'clock this afternoon? You got it there by 4 o'clock this afternoon, knowing full well that you didn't even start it when your boss asked it? You never put something in your pocket that didn't belong in your pocket? Well, it was an accident, yeah, but you put something in your pocket that didn't belong in your pocket. Right? All we got reasons and excuses why we try to justify our not following of the law, but ain't no person on earth can say they followed all the law. And even if you could say you follow all the law right now, I can sit there and say, have you followed it since the day you were born? Since the day you were born. I made that joke about Melody's little rebellion. All right, Melody, we're going to go do this. No! Who taught her that? Who taught her that fight? Who taught her to look her parents in the eye? And she'll stomp her little feet sometimes. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I got to step out of the room. I start to laugh and you can't do that. I'd be like, oh. He's like, what are we going to do? I go, I don't know. Just let her have it. Let her be that strong. She's going to need it. But no, Abby, no. Starts young. Did you not start when you were young? Have you, at every single juncture in your life, always followed the law? Well, no one's perfect, then you're in trouble. You need grace. And oh yeah, by the way, let's create a fictitious person who has followed the letter of the law all day, every day since they were born. Christ said some very specific things about sin. He said to even think about the sin as though you would do it. To covet. To have anger in your heart to the point to where you would hurt somebody is sin. So that nature in us is still just sinner enough to put us into a lake, to put us into the lake of fire. Your sin nature alone would trip you up. No sin, zero sin allowed in heaven. We must be born again. And the only way to do that is through Christ. So again, he just kind of pours some cold water on their argument here that, well, we continue in the law is how you do it. No, because you can't. The law itself proved to us our need for salvation, our need for faith. Go ahead and read in verse 11 here. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So what he's trying to say is it's very easy to see that we can't do it. It's very easy to see that we can't do it. You know, every now and then somebody points a finger around to somebody else. Well, you're a hypocrite. We're all hypocrites. Everybody who's ever walked on this earth believed in a standard of living they weren't able to meet up with. I ain't saying that's justified to be mean to people, but we all fail the mark. We do. So what must we do then? We must realize what that says about us. If I can't be perfect, therefore what I need is forgiveness. If I can't be perfect, I need forgiveness. Right? And that's what we should seek. Again, it is not about who is worse. It is not about proving how good you are. It is all about seeking Christ and his redemption. We cannot even try to make an attempt to be justified by our good behavior. It is insufficient. Even by our own judgment, even by our own viewing, we can tell that we ain't got it. Verse 12, by the law is not a faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So I made that point, and Paul clarifies, the just will still live by those things, but they'll have faith. We need the faith first. Read that one more time. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Why? Because my God gave me those rules, and those are the expectations he has. I know better. I'm not going to do that. You know, there were certain things that I did. I went back to Flat Rock. I still do out of habit because my pastor said, hey, listen, when you do this, can you do this like this? There was a, they've got this sound booth set up in the back. And he never liked it when things were set up there. He just thought it looked sloppy. So, you know, I'll try to take care of that. You know, I hate when I leave my Bible up here. But the point I'm trying to make is I went to go tie my shoe and I set something on there. And my brain went, grab that real quick, put that down, tied my shoe, picked it back up. You're not a member of this church anymore. Yeah, I just know how the pastor likes things. Right? He wasn't mean. Like, I'm not afraid he's going to come and hit me with something. But I respect, right? That's my God. These are the expectations he has for me. They won't save me, but I am going to keep them. If I want God to look down and see that I am just, that's it. If fair is fair, if God is willing to forgive me of my trespasses, fair is fair, I'm not going to commit trespasses. That's it. To me, it's very simple, right? Though my obedience will not save me, my obedience says a lot about my appreciation and a lot about my respect. And I want to have that respect. Based on the above, it is an absolute impossibility to be anything but cursed by the law. There's no amount of relationship with the law that will do anything other than prove your inability, than to prove your lack of self-control. But it is through grace. It is through grace that we are saved. It is through grace after our salvation that we become better at following these things. We see the need for these things in our lives. We develop a passion for those things in our lives. And that is when we get that that's where we get that justness, that sense of justice of, well, if that's what you're willing to do because I can't follow the law, I will then take this grace and work harder at following this. Right? Because number one, you have this opinion for a reason, Lord. You have this opinion for a reason. It'd be like a farmer saying, we don't lean on fences out here. And me going, I'll lean on anything I want. Put my elbow right up to the electric fence. You know, I don't touch any wire fences. Tell me what to do. I'm not afraid of sharp stuff. You have to have that opinion for a reason, Lord. And sometimes I can see what that reason is for. Sometimes I can't tell what that reason is for. Doesn't matter. You got a reason for it. I'm not doing it. Right? You go to somebody in their house. Don't step over there. Okay. I'm not dumb enough to go over there and step on it. Matt, don't eat this. It went bad. I'm not going to try it. I respect you on that. Right? Although I get that all the time. Hey, come smell this. And I fall for that all the time. I don't know why. Right, but we ought to have some respect for the Lord. Lord, these are your expectations. I'm going to follow them. But anything that we can say to try to prove how good we are by the law is going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart. All right, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What Christ did is he became a curse, right? And in doing so, there's something there that happened. Why is it that Christ had to die on the cross? Because what was the law? You got to follow the law perfectly or atonement must be made. Right? And of course, by not following that, you then die, go to hell. Well, Jesus did something different, didn't he? He lived a perfect life. But yet he still died for sin. Making him that redeeming lamb. Breaking the law. Breaking the cycle of the law. I lived. I died. Sacrifice was made for me. I'm allowed into Abraham's bosom. I lived. I died. I made no sacrifices throughout my life. I went to hell. Very simple. Very simple. Christ broke that. And becoming that sacrifice for us paid the debt for all of his elect. Again, what a wonderful thought it is. What he had done is he had paid the price for all of those, redeeming those that were slaves to sin. Giving us not only just another option, but giving us freedom from the consequences of that sin. Again, not that we should sit there and use it like a billionaire trying to get out of trouble, but we ought to sit there and say, hey, you showed me mercy where I deserve punishment. My whole life will now change. I'm going to be on the straight and narrow now. Because of this change you've made, you've bought me with a price. And what he brought to each and every last one of us is a blessing. In dying the way that he did, in dying for us, we as Gentiles can receive the blessing of Abraham. We become one with what the Lord would say would be his chosen people. We receive the Holy Spirit. We get all the blessings of God. We become blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Obeying the law couldn't do that. So again, he did something. And again, what Paul is trying to show them is as clearly as possible the relationship between Jesus Christ and the law. Not, and I'll sit there and I'll get all distracted like I'm doing now. Hey, isn't it wonderful that he changed our lives? Hey, isn't it wonderful that he brought us into this family? Isn't this all wonderful? But the argument being made here is very clearly the relationship between Christ and the law. He did something different so that we would be made free from an eternity in hell. That we would be redeemed and forgiven of our sins. He brought blessing down on us. And that is where we again, as I mentioned in the devotion, need to praise him. We need to rejoice in that. But again, we always have to keep in check our inflated egos. Without Christ, I am still under bondage. Without Christ, I am still a slave to the law. I live, I sin, I die, I burn. But Christ did something different for us. There is no extra thing that we can do to add to the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll bring this up a few times here in the future, but when Christ was on the cross, what was it he said last? It is finished. It is finished. Not, hey, it's done for now until Matt Rowland gives enough money to this church. It is finished for now. Until so-and-so buys 97 candles or whatever the magic number is to get someone out of purgatory is. And then it's done. Right? He didn't say we'll put a pin in it until someone has prayed enough. No, what did he say? It is finished. No more work needs to be done. I finished it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your continuing mercy on us. Lord, even though we've proven 1,000 times we don't deserve it, Lord, in your love and in your care, you still give it, and that just blows our mind. Lord, help us now as we go into the singing and, Lord, the preaching time. Lord, be with me. Help me to stay focused and on point. Lord, help us to draw closer to you through your word. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.